welcome to another episode of Stern and Pop Podcast. This is your CDA, aka 509 Reasons. We back in this thing, man. So hey, we're just gonna start it off by saying this, man. Shout out to the NCAA. They did their thing with the championship, as always. As a sports fan, if you like basketball, the best basketball of the year, honestly, is college basketball. Because to me, the product of the NBA is just not, it's just not hitting like it used to be. Because like, all you see in the NBA is everybody shooting threes, as opposed to college basketball. It's a little bit more variety in the styles of play. It's not just totally focused on shooting threes. It's, you know, you got the posting up. And let me not go too hard on this with no Diddy. Let's not go too crazy with this, because we already know that some of our listeners don't really watch basketball, and that's understood. But anyways, the best basketball of the year just has to be the college basketball, NCAA. But with that being said, we have to say an extra shout out to NCAA women's basketball. Because if we're being honest, most of the shine from college basketball, as far as like individuals, definitely has to be from the women's side. We definitely know a little bit more of the women stars and in the college basketball than we do of the men. You know what I'm saying? So we have to say an extra shout out to them, because they really put a spotlight on how the women's game is just getting more exposure, you know, and showing how good they are as athletes, as basketball players. And it's been some very entertaining basketball. We've been enjoying it. With that being said, big shout out to the South Carolina Gamecocks. They did their thing. They won the championship under the leadership of Dawn Staley. You know what I'm saying? One time for the culture. And so let's get into it. There's a couple things I want to do on that topic here. So a big reason that women's college basketball has been getting this extra spotlight is because of the elephant in the room that maybe not everybody wants to speak about directly out loud. So last year, LSU beat the Iowa Hawkeyes, and there are two stars from these different programs that has been kind of highlighted, right? So from LSU, you have Angel Reese. She beat Caitlin Clark in the Iowa Hawkeyes last year, and that became a big thing, right? Low-key, high-key, however you want to put it. It was a spotlight on this game because the darling of the women's basketball is Caitlin Clark. And we're just going to have to say it like this. You know, she's white. And someone who was kind of made out to be the villain, Angel Reese, star of LSU's basketball team. And she happens to be black. Last year, all year, Caitlin Clark was getting a buzz, much deservedly so, because she was winning games, but she was doing it in such a remarkable way, shooting threes just lights out. Like, we've never seen a shooter like this in women's basketball, and she's, you know, making these exciting plays. So, of course, you have the eyes on her, everyone's talking about her. And then she actually ends up going against LSU, Angel Reese. Also, to add to that, Caitlin Clark does this thing where it's like, you can't see me. It's kind of this thing, I don't know if you ever seen John Cena from WWE. He does this face where he waves his hand in front of his face and says, you can't see me. So Caitlin Clark's thing happened to be that you can't see me sign. And so, you know, she's, you know, big and bad about it, boasting, deservedly so. You know, when you bust and tell, who's going to tell you anything? So, championship game happens, and LSU goes against Iowa. LSU wins. During the win, the celebration, Angel Reese from LSU does the You Can't See Me sign. And then that becomes a thing. The media labels Angel Reese as a person that's like she gives bad sportsmanship because she's kind of gloating the fact that she won, and she gets to kind of like put her foot on their necks. as a person that would be a competitor, as an athlete, the whole goal is to win. When you win, you get to do whatever the fuck you want. But we have to keep this in context. No one has really said anything to Clark all year about what she was doing with the You Can't See Me face while she was winning games. Finally, here goes Angel Reese. She does the You Can't See Me because, you know, they was talking big and bad coming through. And then LSU puts a stop to it to win the championship. And then all of the media, all of the nation polarized. You know, they want to label Angel Reese as a bad, you know, as a bad athlete, as a bad competitor because she does the You Can't See Me sign. Obviously, we know what it is. So with that going into the offseason, coming into this year, you know, they finally match up again. And lo and behold, this ends up being the highest rated, viewed game, even higher than the NBA Finals, which is a major league sports team, you know, a sports, you know. This is higher rated than the NBA Finals. Why is that? It's because low-key, we see what was built into this. It's the White Hope versus Angel Reese. We're not saying that this is something that they asked for as young women athletes, but this is what America kind of put on them. Right? Now we get into it. The game has gone through. The game is done. Iowa actually beats LSU this time. Kayla Clark beats Angel Reese's team, LSU. They win. It is what it is. But once again, you know, we have to, you know, just realize the connotations of what media puts on these players. You know, see how they make it a black versus white thing. And it's kind of understood because, you know, this is how they sell things, right? They make the white base go towards the white player and the black base go towards the black player. So they make people have to pick sides, which does nothing good for, you know, the race relations going on in America right now. Because you know how America's kind of deeply divided. Kaitlyn Clark wins. And she goes on to the next round, which will be the championship round. And she loses against the South Carolina Gamecocks. Shout out to the Gamecocks, coached by Dawn Staley. As one would know, if you in the know, you would know Dawn Staley is about the culture, you know. Young black athletes, you know, excelling or whatnot. They win the game. And once again, that's kind of the connotation, the elephant in the room that no one doesn't want to talk about out loud, but we already know what the deal is. Anyways, Carolina Gamecocks, they came through, they bust ass, they won the championship. All right, so all the you know, the hype is still on Kaitlyn Clark, which is okay because she is one of the best players in a women's game. This is what brought the eyes to the game. So now let's get into it. We're going to transition to another subject. To all of y'all saying that these women athletes are not getting paid, you might be onto something. You're right, they're not getting paid. But guess what? Who is that on? So we're going to break down business real quick. I'm not a business major, but I feel like I know a little bit about numbers that we need to actually temper this down and tell people stop the cap. Because I'm all about, you know, equality and all that stuff, fairness, but we're not talking about reality, right? Because the big thing right now is, you know, people are saying that women's athletes need to get paid better. I mean, we just came off a situation where Brittany Griner was held in Russia because she's not getting paid enough here in the United States, in the WNBA, where she has to go overseas to kind of supplement her income. And she ended up being there for a year. And we get past the politics part about it. They're saying that she should have never had the need to go over there to go make extra money. And you might be right. You might be right. But I think we're all talking about the wrong things in the sense of, yes, women's athletes might need to get paid more, but how do we go about that happening, though, is where we differ. And why I say stop the cap. So let's get back to Caitlin Clark. The good thing about Caitlin Clark is the fact that she brings all the eyes to all these different situations that maybe we never would have been talking about before, right? Caitlin Clark is the number one draft pick in the WNBA this past week. So her starting salary is a rookie contract. It's a 4 years for $338,000. That is her starting salary. So the first year, 76,000, second year, 78, third year, 85, fourth year is $97,000 a season, right? Now, that number to us regular folks, maybe those who don't know no basketball, would be like, damn, that's not bad. $338,000 in 4 years, that's pretty good. And then where the magic sets in is when we start doing the comparisons between the WNBA and the NBA. So a rookie contract for an NBA player, number one pick, and the first pick for the NBA last year was Victor Wembanyama. His starting rookie contract will come out to about $10 million. Caitlin Clark's will come out to $338,000. All right. So let's once again we have to do in the numbers because we're not being realistic about these numbers here. But now we also have to keep this in comparison, right? There's one. The NBA season is longer than the WNBA season. But the NBA actually subsidizes, they do give $15 million in support of the WNBA. That includes facilities, travel, marketing, administrative costs and things of that stuff. As of 2023, the NBA owns 50% of the NBA, while the 12 NBA teams collectively own the other 50%. So that's independent ownership. People that have owned that owns different teams and they, come out of their pockets to help support the teams, the players, whatnot. So now with that being said, let us now keep into mind the money that the NBA gets itself, that includes ticket sales, merchandising, TV contracts, and we have to not understate how much of a brand that the NBA is. The NBA is getting money worldwide. I believe the biggest, money grab for the NBA is even in China. China brings in the most income outside of, United States as far as like merchandising and all that stuff. Like I said, we talk about TV contracts. But in an order for the women athletes to get played, these WNBA players to get paid, people need to go to the games and buy tickets. People need to buy the merch, the jerseys. They have to buy these things in order for the WNBA to actually make more of a profit. From what I've researched, the profit margin is not all that big for them to generate more money. Do they deserve more money? Sure, yes. We're not disagreeing here. But the business part of it has to make sense, and which is the part that I feel like not enough people are actually talking about. People are capping and saying that women need to get paid more. Fine, I agree. But how do you get them paid more if you don't go to the games? How do you get them paid more if you're not buying the merch? You cannot just blindly say, hey, they need to get paid more, and you're not supporting the WNBA. That's not how that works. Make it make sense. Stop the cap. If you want women's athletes get paid more. Stop the cap. Now, if there's anyone that earned a dollar 100% and they're getting it and all makes sense, it's women's soccer, the U.S. national women's soccer team. They bring in, there's more viewership on the women's soccer team than even the men's, because they actually win games. And you already know soccer is more of a worldwide brand. So they get more exposure than the men's team. The women's athletes should get paid more than the men's athletes when it comes to the United States women's soccer team and men's soccer team. They deserve more money. They bring in more pull. And they actually win. So when you say that women's athletes aren't getting paid, you're right. And at the same time, the business needs to make sense. You got to do better. You got to get more viewership. You got to have more attendance in the games. I've had some friends who've worked the women's, the WNBA games. They don't even open the higher levels of seating because there's not enough people attending the games. What's the point? Everybody's advocating for more money for the women's athletes, the women's basketball. But we cannot just keep talking about it. You actually got to be about it. Stop the cap. Everybody going on social media saying that women need to get paid more. Understood. Agreed. Got it. Put your money where your mouth is. Go to the games. Buy some tickets. Buy some merch. You'll see those numbers go up. But we got to stop with the flagging. Stop capping. At the end of the day, we already know these things come into play when it comes to, this is business. Business has to make sense. If you attend the games, you put the money out there, that's how you're going to get women paid. So if you bought that life, I hope to see you posting from a WNBA game next year. I hope to see you dropping at WNBA highlights on the gram. You over there. You know, shouting out your favorite athlete. I mean, come on now. It's more than Caitlin Clark. You know what I'm saying? What's up with Aja Wilson and all them? You know what I'm saying? And hopefully, you know, we're going to have Flying J coming out next year to the game. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Angel Reese. She about to do her thing. Chicago. Cardozo. You know what I'm saying? Tell me that you know that, yeah, you support women's athletes. Come on, put that jersey on your back. Who you talking? Who you repping? Anyways, that's all I got today, man. Just anyway, follow your boy on Instagram, Stirring the Pot Talks. On Facebook, STP Talks. You could already find it on YouTube. You already know Stirring the Pot Talks, a podcast. And share with your friends, you know what I'm saying? If there's something you want to talk about, you already know, holler at your boy. Talk about it, see what it is, man. Anyways, holla at your boy. I'm out. Peace out.